Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you've been hearing, the city's health department expanded its free H1N1 vaccination clinics this past weekend, making the vaccine available at temporary centers in all five boroughs. The overall goal is to target high-risk populations, and we'll remind you who those are in a bit, and to get shots to all of the city's middle and high school students. But we're also hearing that many of the city's high schoolers are not volunteering to get the vaccine. And as WNYC's Fred Mogul has reported over the last few days, there is a great disparity in the distribution of the vaccine. Areas of the city where the vaccine is in low demand have excess doses, while other parts of the city, and in particular other parts of the state, have up to 7 requests for every vaccine on hand. In a moment, we'll hear from a Westchester County pediatrician about how she's administering the vaccine and why her supplies are so scarce. But first, we are joined by our very own Fred Mogul. Fred, hi.
Good morning, Brian.
And let's get right to this question of supply and demand. What did you find? Is there really a huge excess within parts of the city and a scarcity outside?
Well, you know, around the country and to a certain extent around the state, people really are clamoring. You hear about long lines. And in the city, they just really haven't been. They started out doing it in elementary schools. They sent kids home with consent forms. Most of them came back without them signed. Parents just didn't want their kids taking them. Then they started these weekend clinics for older kids, middle and high school kids, as you mentioned. A very small number of these around the city on weekends. And again, a fair amount of silence. So you have in the city about a million plus doses that have been handed out to schools, to hospitals, to clinics, to private doctors' offices. And you have really about 18% of those taken, about 92% untaken, 180 plus thousand. So there is a lot in the city. Meanwhile, upstate, they're getting hit pretty hard by requests for it.
So let's try to make a match right now, because here's the first post on our webpage for this. Fern from Manhattan says, my daughter goes to a private school where flu shots were promised for K through 6, then made available to K through 5 only after we had already filled out the forms with all our personal information. Not only can we not get flu shots from our own pediatrician, all the clinics we were told to go to say they are out. The story you're running about the surplus has not been my experience.
Well, first of all, we should clarify there's seasonal flu vaccine and there's H1N1 flu vaccine. The seasonal flu vaccine generally has had more uniformly intense demand. People really seem to want that. There's been a little bit more skepticism about H1N1, the swine flu vaccine, whether it works, whether
really?
It's necessary.
So despite all the hoopla in the media for months now about H1N1, more people are showing up to get regular so-called flu shots than H1N1 shots.
Seems to be, and there seems to be a more profound shortage. Now, also, the person, I don't know whether it's which vaccine she's seeking, but certainly certain groups, certain neighborhoods, people have different philosophies and inclinations, and there are certainly places within the city where people really are clamoring, but their doctor only got a certain amount.
We can't tell from that post, I should say, whether it was H1N1 or regular flu that particular mother was looking for. So let's get that outside the city perspective now with Dr. Sarah Kenmore, a partner at Westchester Pediatrics in Hartsdale. Dr. Kenmore, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And have people in Hartsdale been clamoring for a vaccine that they can't get?
People in Hartsdale are clamoring for a vaccine they can't get. That about says it. We have had intense demand and a lot of back and forth with our patients. We put in an order for approximately, I think it was about 3,200 doses of H1N1. We have, over the last 4 weeks, received 500 doses, 200 of which just came on Monday. So until Monday midday, we had only received 300, 200 of which were allocated for babies. Another 100 were missed for kids over 3. So this gets a little complicated, but flu mist is a live vaccine that you cannot give to most high-risk individuals. So all of our high-risk kids over 3 were entirely unvaccinated until Monday, when we received some 200 doses of the injectable. So you can imagine it was very difficult to explain to those parents why we were unable to help them. and, you know, we're in the position of asking them to take their very impaired children down to New York City to wait in line at a public health clinic to get their vaccine when we're their private pediatrician around the corner.
So what kind of discussion did you have with the Department of Health about how much supply you would receive, and did you protest what you got?
The Department of Health had a two-step application process, which wasn't very well advertised, actually. I was at the American Academy of Pediatrics meeting in October, and a bunch of us from New York State were comparing notes, and many people in the room did not understand that the first form and order you filled out was not, in fact, your order, that you had to go to a second order to do it. So then once you did that, the Department of Health put out the message, and rightly so. I understand the call volume issue, but it was you get what you get and you don't get upset. It was like kindergarten. That's the mantra. And I respect that in that they were in a very difficult position. However, as time went on, I was absolutely respectful of that position until time was going on and on and on. And my cerebral palsy kids and seizure kids and these very critically ill kids who are truly at risk with swine flu were not being vaccinated. Then I think we were owed a little more of an explanation, and we were still not getting that. So that's where the frustration came in.
And listeners, if you want to call in with your H1N1 vaccine mismatch stories or any questions about the vaccination situation, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We have about 10 minutes for your calls, 212-433-9692. If you get them in right away, maybe high school students who have decided not to get the vaccine, if you're playing hooky from school and listening to the radio, or any doctors who are reluctant to give the vaccine for one reason or another, call in and tell us why you're discouraging your patients from getting the swine flu shot, 212-433-9692. And Fred Mogul, there are some doctors like that, aren't there?
There are a handful. We saw this with caregivers in the state were mandated to get swine flu vaccine, and a lot of them said, no, you can't make us do this, and many of them are declining. And there are doctors who think it's not quite all that there's reason to be skeptical, notwithstanding very strong statements by the Centers for Disease Control, evidence that this is basically another seasonal flu shot. This is manufactured the same way. In fact, it's actually, in many regards, more precise. The annual seasonal flu shot is based on kind of a projected guess on what's going to be circulating, you know, 6, 8, 10 months down the road. This is a much better match, and it's made the same way. So it's considered largely safe, but there is still skepticism in certain corners of the medical community.
And just to review, so everybody knows what category you're in, the list of the people who are highly recommended to take the shot: pregnant women, anyone 4 years through 24 years of age, also people 25 to 64 who have underlying health conditions that increase the risk of severe illness or complications like asthma, diabetes, chronic heart and lung conditions, kidney failure or weakened immune system, or anyone who lives with or cares for children less than 6 months old. Beth in Cobble Hill, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you my experience with it. I was happy to give it to my 8-year-old daughter where they were offering it at her school. And they gave her the MIST, the first part of the application of the vaccination. And then after they gave it to her, I said, so I need to schedule now 28 days later. And they said to me, well, good luck. We're not doing that.
Sarah Kenmore, Dr. Kenmore, is that really accurate? Is it a two-part vaccination if you get the MIST?
So it's actually two-part. The first year you get it for children 9 and under. So for H1N1, that's everybody 9 and under this year. It's a two-part series. I think the caller's point is very well taken, and a lot of people, it's a common question I've been getting. The truth is, because of the limitations on vaccines, I think it's going to be very difficult to find that second dose. I think the Department of Health and most public health officials would agree that you want to vaccinate the most number of people the first time around before you go back and boost kids with the second vaccine. So you do get some protection from the first vaccine, and that's an important point for parents to understand. It's not worthless to do one.
So she can't get the second one.
I'll defer to the CDC on that, but it's...
Well, if she's in New York City, she might have a chance. She maybe not in her neighborhood. She might have to go. We'll have to see how the demand pattern.
She's in
continue.
Cobble Hill. And how were the supply levels determined, Fred? Was it just by population?
It is. It's a national formula. New York State has about 6% of the U.S. population. 3% of of that goes roughly upstate, 3% in the city, and then it gets fanned out from there. Again, it goes to schools, clinics, private offices. People put in their requests, and that's what they get. And then it's just that's the supply, and then the demand is however many people queue up for it.
Justin in Jackson Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justin.
Hi, yeah. I have a 2-year-old and I have a 3. He's almost 4. And I was told that I got the shot for the 2-year-old, but the one for that was almost 4, they told me that they have a shot for kids under 36 months and they have another shot for the kids over 4, but there isn't any shot if your kid is 3. So I was really confused by that. Was that just an oversight of the Board of Health? Or what?
Our resident pediatrician is shaking her head.
No, so that happened to us this week as well. So there's a shot for kids under 3. There is a Sanofi product that's approved for 3 and above. There is a Novartis product approved for 4 and above for reasons that are not clear to me anyway. We actually received the Novartis product, much to our dismay. So we had a total of 4 critically ill kids between 3 and 4 that we had to actually say, we're sorry, we can't give it to you because we got Novartis instead of Sanofi. So it's a... I don't know the explanation for it, but that it wasn't wrong what they told him.
There's a little bit of a luck of the draw element, it seems, with this.
Yes.
The doctor's offices, the clinics, they open up their box and they get what they get. It might be all missed and no shots, all shots and no missed. It seems like really kind of a crapshoot.
Are they going to shift supplies now that this mismatch disparity
has come to light? I talked with the state's top vaccine official, who's actually one of the top national officials. He's the chairman of the National Vaccine Advisory Commission. And he says that's a theoretical possibility, but they're really not there yet. Notwithstanding all the hue and outcry in Buffalo, Rochester, Albany, for people who are sick, for doctors that want it, for all the calls that they're taking both at the state health department and in private offices and hospitals, he says, no, I understand there doesn't seem to be the demand there yet in New York City. It could change very quickly. For the moment, we want to see. Now, mind you, New York City, I mentioned, had 1 million. That's through November. They're expecting an additional 2 million and a 3 million, actually. So there could be quite a supply, but it could change very quickly.
Is it demographic? Is it a class thing? Why are some people underutilizing what's available and some people want more than they can get?
Well, that's people wonder that, and it's from my interviewing people, it kind of cuts across class boundaries. I mean, there's certainly and Dr. Kenmore can talk to this with her population. Certainly, highly educated people who very much want it, who you'd think very protective of their kids. Many within that population are very skeptical about vaccines. So too in more working class and
Dr. Kenmore from Hartsdale, relatively affluent, educated population in your practice.
Yeah, we are very. Sophisticated population, I would say. Even our Medicaid population, we have about 20% Medicaid, and they're fairly sophisticated people. So
we just have 20 seconds left. What are you seeing?
I would say I agree with Fred. It cuts across class lines. A lot of the more educated people make it a point to not just take what the CDC says. They take that as a point of pride, and they like to question it. So I've gotten a lot of questions, but at the end of the day, most of the more affluent, sophisticated patients are taking it, and then most of my Medicaid patients are taking it as well if they can get it.
Dr. Sarah Kenmore, a partner at Westchester Pediatrics in Hartsdale, WNYC health reporter Fred Mogul, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.